Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Lamed. And I wish I could say we would start from the Halakha Mishnah, but we didn't quite get there yesterday. So we're only on the third line on daf Lamed Amud Aleph. And we've been talking about the question of what happens in the case of a shliach who was unable to actually bring a get. Can he give a get to somebody else? What it's the din where he has to say fadai nichta, fadai nichta. So in any event, there's a similar issue, because what we spoke about was onus, and having spoken about onus in terms of the shliach, let's talk about onus in terms of a t'nai. So somebody makes a t'nai on a get. The get will be chal in the event that such and such occurs or such and such does not occur. So the question is, does the t'nai mean that it has to occur in that way because that's the way I want it, or just because even if I'm an onus? So for instance, we had this case, we discussed all of this back, we were talking about suvis, these issues, and we're just reviewing it here because of the din of onus that we got into a minute ago. So Ahudi Omar, lo atina atlas in yumin lavigita. So a guy gives a get, and he says that in the event that I don't come back to town in 30 days, within 30 days, and I've just disappeared from you, that's what he's trying to make her feel good about, that if he doesn't come back, it should be a get. Anyway, bottom line is, he did come back, but he wasn't able to get across the river. He comes back to the other side, and the ferry boat was out. Now, he had relied on the fact that he was going to be able to take this boat across the river, and he arrives, and it's not there. So he shouts out to people on the other bank. He says, hey, I'm back. Just let her know I'm back. And, the get wasn't chal, because I made it back. So, chazuda asoy, you see, I'm here. And Shmuel says, well, that doesn't count. You didn't come in time. So the get is chal. Now, the truth is, it's a big machlokas of how exactly this works, why it works. This is really a big sugya in Ksuvis, because, I mean, if in fact he's an onus, and this was not included in his t'nai, so why would we say this? So there's one sheet in the Gemara that the reason that we say this is as a takona, because the Rabbanan were afraid that in the event that something prevents a person from being mekayim a t'nai, then possibly the wife won't know that, So she will be chayshish that maybe there was a t'nai, and therefore she won't get married, and she'll end up as an aguna. Or maybe because a woman who, even where there was an onus and is dying to get rid of her husband, will say, well, he said he wasn't going to come back, and he didn't come back, so if he wasn't back, he wasn't back, and she goes to marry somebody else, despite the fact that it was an onus. So going to this, we just made a takana to avoid prutzot or tsnuot, if you recall the sugya that we had over there. But not that it's a fundamental issue that there's no such thing as an actual onus. The other approach was that's like saying, I missed my flight. Or it's like saying, they canceled the flight. So the Gemara says over there, listen, how often does it happen that they cancel flights? Often enough that you have to worry about it. So then if you really meant to include this possibility, you should have said. And of course, if they cancel the ferry boat on that day. No, but you didn't say that, so you don't really care. So that was not considered to be part of the t'nai, since you didn't say so. Okay, those are two approaches. Anyway, we're going to see that there's yet a third shita that none of this is true. But so far, that's Shmuel. Now, there was another maisa where a guy said, Ahudi Omalu, he gives a get, and he says, in front of the Edom, he says, listen, I'm giving this get on condition that if I don't, I mean, right now, I'm furious, okay? So if within the next 30 days, I don't manage to work out this relationship, so then the get should be chal from now. Okay, he actually comes in the 30 days, and he gets a marriage therapist to get involved, and he's got friends involved and talk to her. He's doing what he can, Azopaisa, but she refused to be mitpayeset, and she's still mad at him. So the question is, like, is that called that he was Mephias, or it's not his fault that she didn't accept it? Or does Mephias mean that he's got to actually get her to go along? So Rav Yosef says, well, now, wait a minute. I mean, you can't say that he was Mephias. So let me ask you something. Suppose he had rented a private jet, taken her off to Majorca, spent a week and gave her the time of her life, you know. You don't think that she would have been Mephias? I bet she would have. So what that means is he didn't do everything that he could have done, did he? Okay, so then basically he didn't do the maximum. So the get goes into effect. So Rabbi Yosef, in other words, is saying that in the event that he would have done everything, that Eino Chinami, the get would not have gone into effect, right? So that's different than the way we learned it until now. Possibly. You could say that, I mean, he doesn't have the money to rent a jet and so on and so forth, but it doesn't matter. That's included. And even though it's anonymous, Igeni Amri Amri Rav Yosef, others say just the opposite, that what Rav Yosef said was, well, how much is the guy supposed to do in order to be Mephias? He said, if I don't come and Mephias her. So he did. What? Did he commit to renting a private jet? Midi Tarkava, the Din Raboy Mesel, I was supposed to give her a Tarkav. A Tarkav is Treva Kav. That's three Kavim of gold. You know, so he's going to give her $1,000,000. He's going to do that? No. I mean, it was understood that he meant, if I don't do what is normal for someone in my position. So then he did. A Paisa. She wasn't Mitpayeset. What can you do? It's not his fault. Okay, so now, according to this, it's not his fault. So what we're saying is that Aliba de Rabbi Yosef, if you do what you were able to do, so then we would say that indeed, Yesh Ones Begittens. If the guy comes back and he says, here I am, there's no ferry, we would accept that because he said over here the same thing. I said I was going to Mephias her. Well, I did the best I could. Okay, so he's saying that's good enough, right? I didn't say I would do more than the best. So that means that according to Rabbi Yosef, we would disagree with Shmuel. We would say, Yesh Ones Begittin. Masha Enkein, the way we said it before, we would say, well, even though I can't afford it, I can't rent a private jet. Okay, but Ein Ones Begittin. So that would be going, I'll leave it that approach. Why? That's already a different question, whether that's because of the takona of Tznuas and Prutzos. Okay, that's a Ksuva Sugya, not for us, but what is for us is this amazing moment in which Doc has got to rise to the occasion. That good old Litvish Zukta Mishnah, what can I tell you? Okay, so getting back now to one of the issues that was raised earlier, and that was the question of, can you give a get on the assumption that a person was still alive? You know, can she eat truma on the assumption that her husband was still alive? And so on and so forth. So here we have another fascinating question that is a corollary of that issue. It goes like this. A guy lends money to a kohen or to a levi or to a poor person. And he's a very good guy. He doesn't want them to have to pay back the loan, right? So he says, okay, I'm going to give you this loan. And you know how I'm going to get the loan back? Well, you're a kohen, and I've got a big farm, and I've got a lot of truma to give. So instead of giving the truma, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell the truma to kohanim, and I'll deduct the value that I get from the sale from your loan. And that way, you'll never have to pay back this debt. Or he does the same thing with the levi, with miser. He says, I'm going to take all of that miser. I'll keep it for myself because he's allowed to eat miser. And I'll pay you the market value by deducting it from your loan. Or he does the same thing with a poor man. He says, I would have to give Miser Ani this year. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the Miser Ani, which will be yours, and I'm going to deduct it from your loan. And this way you have the money in advance. So the question is, can you indeed continue to believe that that money is still owed to you, so that the guy that you lent the money, is he still alive? This is the same question basically that we had earlier about relying on his being alive for eating truma. Here the question is the debt still a debt? So the Mishnah says that if you lent money on that basis, and you give it to a Kohen or a Levi or an Ani with the stipulation that I'm going to be mafrish whatever I owe of your Truma or your Maiser or your Maiserani, I'll be mafrish and deduct it from your loan, you can continue to be mafrish aleim becheskat shehen kayamim. You can assume that they are alive. You don't have to worry that maybe the Kohen died or maybe the Levi died or maybe the Ani got rich. Even that might happen, you know. Well, you don't have to worry about that. You can rely on the chazaka. Now, what about if they did die? Right? So, if you know for a fact the guy died, so then you cannot continue to do this unless you get the permission of the heirs, because it's not really a direct legal chiyuv on the heirs to pay back their father's debt, right? So because of that, if they say, well, we feel that we'd like to make sure that all of the debts that our father had were paid, so you can continue doing that, so fine. So then you can do it. But here's the chiddush. If you made this loan in front of Beis Din, so then we have a remarkable halacha that eino tzarich litor reshus ben hayorshim, there is no need to take the rights. Now, how could that be? So as we're going to see, the idea of here is that we have a takana. We would like Kohanim, Levim, the poor, we would like them to be able to borrow money, and that people should not feel they're never going to get their money back. So they should be able to make this kind of stipulation. Okay, in order to do that, we say to ourselves, as Beis Din, and as Beis Din, remember, we have the right to be Koveya Hefker Beis Din Hefker. We can determine all types of financial stipulations. So we say to ourselves like this, generally speaking, it's to the benefit of all Kohanim, to the benefit of all Levim, to the benefit of all Aniim, that we should be able to allow them to get loans when things are tough and to be paid back in this fashion. Now, if their death is going to prevent the person from getting back his loan, they're not going to make these loans. They're going to take a chance to give a guy money that I'll never be able to recover. So we want to make it very easy. So what we say is like this. Since all of the Kohanim benefit from this, we will say that the entire Shevet HaKohuna, so to speak, has agreed that in the event that a loan like this is made and that particular Kohen dies, then all Kohanim are meichel on their truma to be able to allow this guy to get his loan back, in order to provide for loans in the future to Kohanim. Same thing would be true about Levim. The same thing would be true about Aniyei Yisrael. So in other words, we make a takana, that we make a special new type of loan that will be collectible through taking Truma or Maaser, whatever the case will be, or Maaserani. And even though the person himself that agreed to the loan is not alive, but we consider everybody to be backups to repayment of that loan. So like a guarantee of the loan by all of the Kohanim. So, asks the Gemara, but how does this work? The Afa Gav de lo atu liyadei? You have a chiyuv to give the Truma to the Kohen, to give the Maaser to the Levi. You can't just keep it. If you keep it, then you never gave the truma. So what do you mean I'm going to keep it and deduct it? When did you give it? I understand if you made a deal, I'll bring you the Maaser. You take the Maaser, now you're kind of the Maaser, and then give it back to me. Okay, that I understand. But if nothing ever changes hands, so then how in the world did you give your Maaser? How is that possible? Omar Rav, it is possible because there's a concept of makare kuhuna v'leviyah. Now, there's a big machlokas for showing him how exactly this works. Rashi learns all over that makare kuhuna v'leviyah is where someone always gives his truma to this particular kohen who's his good friend, or always gives his maaser to this levi who's his good friend. So therefore, says Rashi, what that means effectively is that all other kohenim, or all other levi, recognize that they're not going to get this, because it always goes to Mr. So-and-so. Because of that, they essentially are mityayashim from their chelek, in which case it ends up being that he is the only Kohen left in the world. Now, if he's the only Kohen, this is the Pashas, the way to understand Rashi. Rashi doesn't speak this out completely. But if he were the only Kohen in the world, so then we would understand that since this has been given to the Kohanim, Chelef Avodatam, or to the Levim, Chelef Avodatam, like this, you have to give it to them because you have a right to determine which one you're going to give it to. Okay. But in the event that there's only one Kohen, so then basically the Truma belongs to him, or there's only one Levi, the Truma belongs to him. And since this is Makare Kuna, that's essentially how we view it. This is Rashi's simplified approach to Makare Kuna Vlavia. Shmuel says, no, it could be talking about very simply that he takes the Truma, calls a friend of his over, and says, do me a favor, could you be Zocha in this Truma for Mr. So-and-so the Kohen? We've already seen Zocha Nodem Shalom B'fanav. So that means that this person actually gave the Truma to the Kohen, and now he takes it back and he deducts it from the money that was owed him. Great. If he's a Kohen, he can eat it himself, or he can give it to he could sell it to Kohanim, whatever the situation is. So that's what it's talking about. You are Mezakeh. Shmuel says, you don't even need to come on to this, because what we could say is that the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says that there are many occasions in which Bezdin is Koveya, that someone who did not actually make a technical kinyan should have a kinyan. And that's the kind of thing that was done on Libet Rabbi Yossi in many places. So for instance, we give a kinyan to somebody, remember, who's working on the top of the trees, cutting down things. He never picked it up. And now it falls down. It belongs to him because of a takana. Or we have the idea the child of a po'el is allowed to follow and eat off of the balabayit. So as if the po'el was kainet, now he's feeding his child. And all kinds of stuff like that. Even though, let's say, a katan doesn't really have zechiyah, there are times where the rabbanan granted zechiyah to the katan if he finds something you can't take it from him, and stuff like that, right? So the idea, therefore, is that where there is a general takana for society, the Chachamim didn't create a mechanism for this to happen. They were simply gozer in terms of the ability to say hefker bez and hefker, that they are koveya, that it belongs to so-and-so. So you don't even need zikui. You don't even need to come on to Makare Kuna V'Levia. But the problem with this approach is that it only works out according to Rabbi Yossi, but fine. So I hold it's kedai to say that the Mishnah, instead of saying it's talking about these specific circumstances, it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now, why is not Rav's approach the simplest approach? He says it's talking about that the guy is a friend of yours, this Kohen. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? This person is obviously interested in trying to help out this Kohen. He's giving him a loan. So maybe it's talking about Makare Kuna V'Leviyat. So why don't you want to say that pshat? Well, Shmuel and Ula don't like that pshat because they don't believe that a Mishnah is going to base the entire halacha on something that it isn't even meramis to. It doesn't say. I mean, you're limiting the Mishnah to a case where, in fact, it's makare, and it doesn't say anything about makare. I don't believe that that's the meaning of a Mishnah. You could just throw in a case. Okay, why do Rav and Ula not want to say like Shmuel? Because they say, b'mizakeh lo katani. Shmuel, in their opinion, has the same problem. Shmuel holds, I don't have the same problem, because you're trying to define the Mishnah in a particular case. And I'm saying that the Mishnah requires a particular thing to be done, but we can figure that out. But I'm not just arbitrarily saying a case. I'd rather there be something that needs to be done than to define the case. Okay, so that's goof a question between Rav and Shmuel. What approach is more mistaber in the way that Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos? This is an important question. All right. So Shmuel doesn't like specifying cases that are not merumas. Rav doesn't like specifying acts that need to be done that are not merumas. All right. But Ula, why don't you want to say like Ula that it's just a takana of Bezdin? Well, that's because it would have to be going according to exactly as we say, it would have to be going only according Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. We don't want to say that the Mishnah is going only like one shita. So, ki yechida'a lo mukmina. We don't try to explain away a Mishnah by saying it represents only a shita of one time. Now, Tana Rabbana, a little bit more information about the situation in our Mishnah where somebody made a loan to a Kohen or to a Levi and so on. So the Bright expands on this a bit. Now, this is the first point. This is a direct quote from our Mishnah. But there's other issues that you need to recognize that may come up in dealing with a loan like this that the Braita talks out that we wouldn't know from the Mishnah. So what you need to know is that you are allowed to be poseki mahem kishar azol ve'in bo mishum ribit. So you can fix a particular price when you say, okay, I am going to be taking your truma, selling your truma. Now, it may well be that the price of produce changes dramatically between the time that the loan was made and the time that you're paying back the loan. Okay, so now, suppose you want to take double the amount of Meiser for yourself, so to speak. That is double the value, double the amount of Peros that you would be able to sell. It would be like if I, let's imagine a commercial deal, not this type of loan. So I go to somebody, I say, I'm going to pay you upfront. I'm going to give you $1,000. I want you to supply the Peros during the course of the year at the lowest possible price. So even though right now, let's say, it's very expensive, and for my $1,000, I would only get 1,000 kilos. But I want you, when you supply it, to use the lower price. So maybe I'll get 2,000 kilos. I'm happy to give you the money up front, but I don't want to lose out. So you give me according to the Shahr HaZol, right? So in this case, you can make the same deal that I'm only going to be deducting the Shahr HaZol. I'm not going to give you the price that it's currently worth. So if the truma at that point is worth less, I'm only going to deduct a lesser amount, which means in the end I could get twice as much truma or three times as much truma because I'm deducting it at a lower price. And you can do that. And ein bo mishum ribit, there would be no problem of calling it ribit and saying, well, you know, it's as if I paid you the money in advance. And because of that, you're supplying me things at a lower price. Well, that would be ribit, right? So ein achinami. In this case, there is no ribit. Now, we'll see. Why is this different than any commercial deal? The Gemara is going to discuss this. And another thing you need to know is that this kind of loan, if it's Shemitah, Shemitah doesn't cancel this kind of loan. Again, all of this we're going to talk about in the Gemara. Ein shvit mishamato. And furthermore, if he wants to change his mind after making the deal, he can't change his mind. Now, who is he that the Gemara is going to ask? Are you referring to the lender, or referring to the Kohen? And another fascinating thing is that if, let's say the deal was only for a year, so this guy has a really large farm, he gives a $100,000 loan, and he figures he's going to be making, you know, a few million dollars on his crops, and that's going to pay back, and the Meiser is going to pay back his $100,000 loan. Then what happens is that there's a agricultural disaster, there's a drought, and he says, oh my God, there goes that loan. He makes it only for the year in this case. So that's why he would say that instead of waiting for next year. So he said, he sees he's lost the crop for this year. He says, that's it. I guess I better give up on that loan. So that's called vay lechisaron kis, nityashu abalim. When you give up on something, you then lose your rights to it. And that means that over here, he would lose his rights to collecting that money and being able to use this deal to keep taking it because he thought he wasn't going to get anything. So then in the event that the field recovers, he's not going to be able to do it anymore. It's too late. He was already Messiah-ish. And the halacha is, ein mafrishin al avud, something that's already lost to you, you can't be mafrish from. By the way, that's an interesting machlokas between the achronim about whether this means that in general there's a concept of yush on loans, or whether this is a particular case because of the way that it was set up. So this is interesting, one of the nice yeshivish sugyas. is there such a thing as a yush on your ability to collect a loan? Okay, so let's go through the braita step by step. Omar Mar, you say that you could be posek imam kishar hazol. Well, obviously you can. You can always be posek kishar hazol. You can always make a deal with someone that you're giving him money in advance, and that when he supplies whatever he's supposed to be supplying, that he's going to be supplying it according to the market value at the time, even though the price has gone down. Can't you do that? So why, I understand why is this any different? So pshita. Yes, but it's different because our kamashwan, the bright is coming to say that even though in this case you didn't make that clear in advance and it was low pasak, it's taken for granted that if the price goes down, so that even though you didn't say you were going to do it, you're allowed to collect it. Mashenken, in a normal case, what we assume is that the deal is made on the value of the current produce, and you would have to stipulate that even though the current value is X, that if the payment is at a time when the value is X minus 50%, that that's what you're going to pay. There's a number of different approaches to this. It's beikar a ribis question, and it's a discussion about metzia. Not kedai for us to get into the details, but that's the simplest explanation. Okay, there's other questions about whether the market value was fixed yet at the time. It turns out that there's major differences between an existing market value, which allows you to start making deals, because if there is a market value, it means that it's available. So even though it may not be available to you, there wouldn't be a market value if it weren't available. In a case where you're the first person that is bringing in this crop and there is no market set yet, there's differences about whether you can make these kind of deals because it couldn't be bought anywhere else. But I'm just warning you that it's a little bit more complicated than I've presented it, but this is the simplest understanding of the Gemara. So there's no issue here of rebit anyway. So there's nothing that could cause us to call this rebit. Why? Because my taima, because if you can't collect a loan at all, so then how could you be taking rebit on the loan? Over here, you're told him you get to keep the money. It's yours. I'm giving you $100,000. So now you're telling me you don't like the way that I made the deal? I don't understand. I mean, I can't come to collect it from you. So since in the event that I didn't have anything, I wouldn't be able to collect it, we can't call that rebit. Furthermore, kivan dechi, so kivan dechi letle lo yoivle, he eat le nami and b'mishum rebit. So since if there weren't any truma umayser, there's nothing you could do to say, well, you owe me money. You don't owe me money. I made the deal with you that you don't owe me money. So how could it be a din of rebit? Furthermore, said the Raisa, ein shvi'it b'shamatato. Why is that? Because remember that the way that shvi'it is b'shamet is by telling you, lo yigos et re'ehu. You cannot go after money that's owed from you, from your friend. Well, anyway, you can't go after this money, right? Because that was the deal. You stipulated that you can't go after it. Wherever you couldn't go after the money, there is no din of lo yigos. Obviously, lo yigos. I don't have the legal rights to be yigos. And then the last thing you said was that imbalach zorei no chozer. You can't change your mind about this. Who can't change his mind? Amar Rav Papa, nobody can change his mind. Don't think that nobody can change his mind. What it means is the balabayit cannot change his mind. And he wants to be mevatel this arrangement. He cannot be mevatel the arrangement because he already gave the money. And if he gave the money, then that means it's in the Rishus of the Kohen, who is now Mosek in it, so that even though normally, what's the issue of here? Normally, if we really look at this as basically a sale, so then until there's a Mashiach, there is no sales, because money alone is not capable, that's been a Rabbanah, according to money would not be capable without Mashiach. It's the whole discussion again above Metziah. So in this case, if the Balabayit, who already gave the money, wants to cancel out, he cannot cancel out, even though normally there is a din of Mashiach, not Moz, but over here, there was no Mashiach possible because he didn't grow the Terumah Maaser yet. So because of that, he cannot change his mind. But the Kohen can change his mind about the Balabayit before there's anything there. Im Balachzor Lachzor. Because basically the Terumah and the Maaser belongs to the Kohen until the person who lent him the money actually gets this Terumah as a Maaser and sells it. So because of that, the Kohen would be able to change his mind. It's not. Natan lo ma'od v'lo mashach emenu epeirot yochol lachzor bo. So since we learned above Metzia that if somebody buys something by giving money, but he has not yet taken possession through Mashiach, he is able to change his mind. The next thing was Nityashu Abalim, Ein Mafrish Aleihem, because Ein Mafrishim Ala Avud, once you said, Oi, Vayal Chisaron Kis, I'm never going to get that loan back, you can no longer do the deal. Well, I mean, isn't that obvious? No, it's talking about over here that actually Akun is based on the word, on the Hebrew word, the Kona. So the Kona is the stock, right? Akun would mean that the produce had already grown to the point where there was a stock. And at that point, it stopped growing. And the grower decides in his despair at losing his year's crop, oy vavoy, this is never going to recover. A disaster. I'm going to lose all my loan. I shouldn't have even made the loan. Not only my investment, everything is lost. Now, the Maisa people have a tendency to be pessimistic when things look bad. So the guy may be, you know, exaggerating a little bit. So you might have thought, Baudatema, Aknata is Miltahi. I mean, the fact that he's making a big deal about this, okay, you know, so he's a drama queen. I understand. But Lamaisa, he's hoping deep down he's going to be able to get it back because oftentimes once there's already a stock, it will recover. Kamash Malan, that no, it's not enough. And if he really was Mityaish, it's considered to be a real Yush. Tanya Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Hamalveh ma'ot ha'kohen v'talevi b'beit din. So now this was the interesting piece that we had at the end of the Mishnah, which is that you do not need to take permission from the heir of the Kohen or the Levi. You don't need to get permission. Why? So the Mishnah didn't say. It just said if you did it in the Bez, then you don't have to. Here, the Braita explains it. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, and then the Kohen and Levi die. You can continue being mafresh aleihem becheskat oto ashevet. Same thing is true if you lent money to an ani in Beit Din and he dies. You can be continuing to take the meiser ani and deduct it from the loan that no longer exists because you can be semech becheskat aniyei Yisrael, that there was a takana that was made by Beit Din in order to allow aniyim to get loans, that this should be a repayable from all Aniyim. We're basically guaranteeing the loan. Same thing would be true about the Truma, but could be repaid by all Kohanim, and so on. Rav Chai Omer, I don't like the way you phrased that. The issue over here is not Aniyei Yisrael. Could be any Aniyim in the world, not only Jewish Aniyim. Now, the Gemara is going to explain what that's referring to, because obviously non-Jewish Aniyim, there's no Meiser Ani. So, what do you mean? There's a deal that doesn't make any sense. So my benayo, therefore, before I get to understanding the Braita, what, I mean, he can't mean literally on goyim. No, you know what he's referring to? Ige benayo aniye kutim. They're basically arguing about whether kutim are considered to be Jewish or not. That's what they're arguing in. That's the old machlokes about kute geri emet or kute geri arayot. So according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kutim are not Jews. So when he said Yisrael, he meant, I mean Yisrael and not Kutim. Comes along Rav Ach, he says, no, it's not Kutim also because Kutim are Gerim. This is a very much a side point in which Rav Ach just wanted to correct what he felt was an inappropriate reference of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But anyway, so now let's get back to the Braita. Now, in this Braita, however, we find, this is weird, because, I mean, we had two different situations, right? We had the Kohen and the Levi dies, as the Mishnah talks about, and we had the situation where the Ani gets rich. Now, where the Ani gets rich, we do not have this takana, which is strange. I mean, why wouldn't we have this takana? He'eshir ha'ani, then you can't be mafresh alav. And nonetheless, the ani who was an ani and who is now a multi-billionaire and doesn't want to return the loan, obviously, now that he's rich. I mean, now I know what money's worth. I ain't going to pay back this loan if I don't have to. So this was like a beautiful story of my grandfather. Zatzal went to open the yeshiva in Baltimore, you know, so they were going to build this new building. And they came up with this incredible idea. They're going to go to the richest people in town and they're going to ask each one for $1,000 so that they could build their building for the $10,000, right? Okay, so they're going to get a minion of these people together. Anyway, so there was a very rich guy in town. I know, I think I could tell the story over with his name, but I guess what for? There's a very rich guy in town. So my grandfather walks in and tells him, you know, we have this plan, we're going to build a yeshiva, and we need you to give $1,000. The guy goes, $1,000? It's like, in those days, that's $1,000,000. So he says, we spoke to Mr. So-and-so. He's like, he's nowhere near in your kind of rarefied richness. And he didn't hesitate for a moment. And he said, absolutely, I'll give you $1,000. Ah, says the guy, obviously. He doesn't know what money is worth. I know what money is worth. So, okay, so now the ani, obviously, he doesn't want to repay the loan, right? So the deal is that he doesn't have to repay the loan because it was given to him. So zocha ala b'mashe b'yada. Now, what about the case we said before, that you could take truma as a miser, and we said that that's good, that's in a takana that was made for the benefit of the ani. So how come we said before that for the death of the Kohen or the Levi, we do have a takana, you know? So maishna lemita da'ova takanta, but we said if he got rich, then we don't make such a takana. Umashala ashirut, where they can't take maiserani. Oh man. Death, taxes. Well, obviously, that's shricha, so we have to make a takana. For an ani to get rich? You gotta be kidding. We gotta worry about something unusual like that happening. We don't make takanas for things that are lo shricha. So misa shricha. Ashirut lo shricha, says Rav Papa. Yeah, that's what people say, you know. Somebody tells you, your friend suddenly dropped dead. Believe it. Your friend made a killing. Garbage. So, you know where you got rich. So, chavrach mit asher. Eat asher, lo ta asher. That's cuter, obviously, in Aramaic, right? All right. Anyway, then the Mishnah says that in the event that you didn't make this as a tnayim bezdin, so then if he dies, you're going to have to ask rishus from the Yoresh, that you should be able to continue keeping his truma and deducting it from his father's loan. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, now wait a minute over here. What we're talking about over here is Yorshim Sheyorshu. What? Could you explain to me what are Yorshim Shelo Yorshu? I don't understand. What is Yorshim Sheyorshu supposed to mean? Umiika Yorshim Delo Yorshu? What does this mean? Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. No, the Mishnah is saying that if they were Yoresh, the actual property, meaning that they really did get a Yerusha of things that the father, had he taken out a loan, that they would be actually Meshubah to pay it back. That's what he means. So we're talking about Sheyorshu Karka, the Lo Sheyorshu Ksafim. So in other words, what we're saying is that in the event that a Yoresh actually will have property from the father, so then he's actually Mechuyev to pay back. If all he has is cash or Metaltalin, then he's not really Mechuyev. In which case, if he doesn't give you Rishus, you're unable to get it back from him, because it's not really mechuyev. So what we said over there, that if you made a deal in the bezdin, that then you can collect. So that is what Rebbe is coming to say. The deal that you can collect from bezdin basically does not really work the way you explained it, Rebbe Lezer. It's because since in the event that you were Yorish property, so there it would be possible to actually collect it from you, even though he made a deal that he can't collect it and that he's only making the din with Trumas or with Maestras. So there, what the Beis Din said was that in the event that there is a Yorish that was Yorish, meaning that was Yorish something that he would have, if there were a real loan, he would have been mechuyev to pay back the loan. That's where there's a takana of Beis Din, that in this case, where you never gave a loan that needs to be paid back, that there he would need to accept that the trumas or the maestras that were due him would be applicable to the loan. Okay, so then this is not the approach of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Rebbe is coming to say, don't think that it's based on this so-called guarantee by all Kohanim and all Aviim or all Aniim. It's not based on that. It's based on the theoretical capability of the loan bearer to be able to collect the loan had it been a normal loan. So therefore the court says, okay, you know what? You're trying to be a good guy and to give it to you shouldn't lose. So therefore, in the same way that they would have had to pay back a regular loan, we're going to make a takana that you can continue to take off Trumas and Maestras for this unusual gift loan that you made. Now, the question is, does this mean that there was enough money there to cover the loan? In other words, is Rebbe actually saying that if it was a $100,000 loan and there's property there of $100,000, so that then you're allowed to continue up the deal up to the $100,000? Or is he simply saying if there is property and therefore these Yarshim are on some level responsible, is that enough? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, it's actually a function of how much property there is. Let's say if he left a little tiny piece of land, the size of a needle, you know, well, that ain't worth very much. So he wants to collect his Trumas and Maestras. Yeah, he can collect the Trumas and Maestras for 1 square inch of the property. Okay. I mean, if you gave him a Melo Cardome, I mean, if it's a big, it's obviously a Cardome to a needle is like 1,000 times the size. It doesn't mean it's the size of a hatchet, literally, right? It just means if you got a serious amount of land, so fine, go over Melo Cardome, whatever it is. That's what Rabbi Yonatan said. But Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who came up with the idea of Shiorshu, he says it's not true. Afilu iniach malo machat, gove malo kardom, kemase de katina de abaye. So what is the maise de katina de abaye? We had this back in Ksuvos, where a guy left a small field. That small field was worth only 50% of what the loan was that had been made. So what happened is the guy came and he took that field away from the heirs after the borrower died. So the heirs, who felt very sad because that was their family field and they had been with that field for generations, so they went and they paid the guy back, bought the field off of him, and went back into the field. The next day the guy comes and he seizes the field with a court order. They say, what the heck? I say, well, what do you mean? Now you have money. Now I'm taking the field, right? Because you owed this money. But we already paid you for it. You only paid 50% of the loan. There was still a lien of the other 50%. It just, it wasn't covered. Okay, but now it is. Thank you very much. I'll take that field from you. All right. So that's how Babaya Paskin about the Tekatina, which means that theoretically speaking, obviously nobody's going to be stupid enough to do this, but theoretically speaking, so if you had left 1 square inch of karka, kimelo machat, and now you would collect that 1 square inch, and they would pay you to get back the 1 square inch, then you could collect it again, and then they would pay you again. So theoretically speaking, if people are nuts, you can actually collect your $1 million loan from 1 square inch of karka. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, and that's all we're looking at out over here in order to make the takana. We don't need that you should have the collectability. We need that you should have the lien that is a theoretical lien. And that in the event that the guy would buy it back, you'd be able to keep collecting from it. So that means that the lien exists. The fact that practically speaking, you'd have to be crazy to get into a situation like this is irrelevant. Because we're looking only for the mechanism of the takana. The mechanism of the takana is okay. there exists a lien which, had there been a normal field, could theoretically have repaid the loan, and therefore you, being a nice guy and wanting to give the guy the loan without collecting, are very nice, and you're not going to lose your ability to collect, and we will allow you to continue to take the Trumas of Maestros. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, it all boils down to the potentiality. Tana Rabbanan, we've got another very fascinating issue here, which on the surface makes absolutely no sense. Okay, a guy, a Yisrael, he goes over to a Levi, and he says, look, you know, I've been taking off Maaser Rishon. I didn't get around to giving it to you, and I have some Maaser Rishon. Rabbanan is indicating how much, but that's not for now. That's for the second part. Because the whole point of this price, Rabbanan, is we don't know how much. So please do not show us the amount. You're confusing us. And he doesn't say how much it was. So we do not have to worry about the Trumas Meiser in it. What does that mean? We do not have to worry. All right, we're going to talk about it in the Gemara. But in the event that he told a Levi that I have precisely a core of my aser that is yours, then we do have to worry about the Trumas Meiser. Which means what? What are you talking about? My Koma. Omar Rabbi, I'll tell you what this means. It means like this. Okay, come on. Yisrael goes over to a Levi. He says, there's some Meiser of yours. You know what? I want to buy it off of you. That's how it relates to our sugya. So here's $100. Let me keep the Meiser of yours that I have in my property, okay? And the guy goes along with it. He says, fine. We do not have to be worried that maybe this Levi took off Trumas Meiser from that on stuff that he had. So let's say there's one bushel, right? Maybe this Levi had actual Meiser of 10 bushels. And what he wants to do is take off one bushel on those 10 bushels. So when he hears that you have his Meiser, he says, great, okay, the Meiser that Yisrael has should be the Trumas Meiser for all my bushels. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Now, the question is how he could do this. This is a big question. Rashi talks about that somehow or other he's able to do it after the deal. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. How could he do it after the deal? Tosfos understands that it's talking about that maybe he did it before the deal. It would be one of these cases where the Levi is Kena. Okay, don't worry about exactly the mechanism. Again, it's not our problem. But let's just assume, whether it's Rashi's approach, Tosfos' approach, or any other approach, it would have been in the hands of the Levi to do such a thing. Okay, we don't have to worry that he did something like that. Why? Because you didn't tell him exactly how much there is. And when you take off Trumat Maaser, it has to be exactly 1/10 of the 10th. So the Levi was unable to do that. And you don't have to worry about it. Masha Einkein, in the second part of the Braita, where you did what Rabbanea was showing us exactly how much there was, that's why I say you should have held that. Kur Maaser Yeshli Biyadi, Yeshko Biyadi. And here's the money. Then, since he knows exactly how much it was, because the Yisrael told him, so then you do have to worry that maybe the guy took off Trumas Meiser from somewhere else. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Are we talking about an utter Russia who would do something like that? He would take off Trumat Maaser, take the money for it, let the Yisrael go to hell by eating this Trumas Meiser, which is a chi of misa bidei shamayim, and yeah, what do I care? I got my money. I mean, what kind of person like that? We don't discuss people like that, do we? Remember, it was so beautiful the way that our president, Abe, whenever we had sugyas like this, he would say, wait, isn't the Gemara dealing with Jewish people? He could not believe that we would be talking about a case. That's the Gemara's kasha now. It's our president's kasha. What? How could such a thing be? Okay. The wonderful to me was... So Otobur, she asking them, the Shakli Dami, they're going to take money, and they're going to now turn it into Meiser, Trumas Meiser, just in order to mess you up. That can't be what it means. I'll tell you what it means, says Rav Meshavshim. Yeah, well, I'm Rav Meshavshim, Breder Vidyachi Kama. What it means is that if Yisrael says to a Levi that your father, there was stuff that belonged to your father, he died, and I never was able to give him the Meiser that was due to him, and it's still in my Rishos, so I'll buy it from you. Here it is. So then, Ein Choshen Shema Aso Aviv Trumat Ma'asra Makom Acher. There, we don't have to worry that the father, who knew about it, but never had gotten around to give it to him, he would never have made that Trumat Maaser, because he didn't know exactly how much it was. But if he tells the Levi there's precisely a quart of Maaser that your father owned, then you have to worry that Choshishin Shema Asa'o Aviv Trumat Maaser Makom Acher. I mean, the father, he didn't know that the guy wanted to buy it or anything. He wasn't doing anything wrong in taking off the Trumat Maaser. So then, since he knew precisely how much it was, you would have to worry. No. This is no good. Because what you're assuming is that this guy, who is a chover, I mean, he's very makbid, he wants to take off Trumas Meiser right away, he's going to take off Trumas Meiser from something that is not in his presence, that's called Shalom and Amukaf. Chaverim do not take off Shalom and Amukaf, because they want to make sure that it exists, they're not taking any chances, it's exactly this amount, it's still there. He would never have done that. This is not a good explanation, because it's also inappropriate. Elam Ravashi, I'll tell you, it's this. A Yisrael says to a Levi, my father, before he died, he told me that there's Meiser here that belongs to so-and-so, to Levi. I meant to give it to him, and I didn't survive long enough to give it to him. You take care of it. Or he told me before he died that this Levi's father had Meiser that he died before I was able to give it to him. Then we are chayshish in the trumas meiser shabo, meaning then we are worried about needing to take off trumas meiser, because then it wasn't yet taken off, because kima de lokitz, the bal habayit would not have been mitakenit in order to make sure that the trumas meiser was removed. But if he said kurmaser lechabiyadi, or kur maaser lavicha biyadi, then I'm not even worried about trumat maaser, meaning we can assume that the father had taken care of it. Because kivan dekitz tikuni takni baal abayit, the baal abayit would have taken care of that trumat maaser. What are you talking about? A baal abayit, it's not up to him. Where did he get rishus to take care of trumat maaser? The trumat maaser, the Levi is supposed to take care of. Since when can the balabayit take off trumat maaser? V'chiyesh lo reshut balabayit v'trom trumat maaser? Yes, if you hold of Abba Elazar ben Gamla, and that would be the way to understand this brayta, says Ravashi, because if it's going like Abba Elazar ben Gamla, he has a shita which we find in the brayta, the Tanya. Abba Elazar ben Gamla omer v'nechshav lachem trumatchem. The various trumot that you have is kadagan min agornu chumle'a min hayekev. So what is that two trumot? B'shtei trumot akatu b'daber. Truma gedola and truma maaser. Both of them are the same. And the Torah is saying they're both the same. In what sense? Well, kishem truma gedola nitelet ba'omed u'b'machshava. Can you take off truma gedola without exactly measuring? Of course, there's no particular shear to truma gedola. So you could take whatever, even though Chachamim were mitakein, a 50th, whatever. So you go, okay, approximately a 50th. You don't need to actually measure it. And not only that, you can say the truma should be on this side, on the north side, and that amount on the north, that's just b'machshava. You could just, yes, it's enough. So too trumas maaser, even though it's supposed to be a precise amount, can be nitelet ba'omed or b'machshava. U'chashem, and here's the critical piece to us. U'chashem. Sheb yesh lo reshut lo ba'al habayit l'trum truma gedola, kach yesh lo reshut lo ba'al habayit l'trum trumat maaser, and therefore we have nothing to worry about. He definitely had already taken off trumat maaser, and you can rely on that, and he therefore was okay.